Well, it's been 8 weeks since I started the series. Well, no, 12 weeks. It's an 8-week series and then Christmas. So it's been a while. But as I started out the series, I talked about the fact that I was a nurse for many years before I went to seminary. So it was easy for me to relate to taking your spiritual temperature. Because taking our temperature tells us if our body is in normal state or abnormal state. And taking our spiritual temperature will do the same thing. Every once in a while, we need to stop and see where we're at. And because we don't have a big spiritual thermometer, we can do what most doctors and nurses do. They ask questions, right, Alex? You ask a million questions, 10,000 reasons, 10,000 questions. So we took 8 weeks looking at 8 questions that were designed to make us take an inward look at where we are spiritually and where we are as a church body. Because as a church develops and grows, things change. The whole dynamics of a church body can change. As people come in and as people move or move on, it changes everything. So you need to stop and take a look. And believe it or not, it's been 6.5 years since I've been here. So it's time to stop and take a look. So some of the questions that we might ask are, what are our needs? What are the needs of the people? Where do we fall short? What direction are we going in? How do we stay healthy? That's one of the first series we did when I came. What's a healthy church? And those are some of the questions we need to think about and discuss after church, if you're able to stay. Spiritual formation is vitally important. It's on the cutting edge of what God's doing today. He wants people to take that inward look. He's calling us to that closer walk with Him. He wants to take us to another level spiritually, but it takes cooperation on our part, and it takes a willingness to change. It's not hard today to become super saturated with the world, and a noisy world at that. Often there is no quiet to be found. In week one, I used the scripture, we're called to be still. Be still and know that I am God. And how hard is it for us to be still? To really find that place of quiet and listen. I mean, Mary talked about it this morning. When she was young, it would beep, 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 you know, God, I'm going to tell you how to run my life. And then God chuckles and goes, okay, I'm listening, but would you listen to me? And I think for so many of us, and I know for me, if I had stopped and listened to God, my life might have gone in a little different direction than it did. Christ calls us to a faith walk. He calls us to walk with Him and to become like Him. Time with God and learning to be in constant contact with the Lord can be and should be a daily occurrence. Our connection with Christ comes with a willing heart that says, yes, Lord, I want to know you more, and I want to be in your presence. And so often, and I've said this over and over, I've preached about the fact it's in the presence of God that healing takes place. It's in the presence of God that discovery takes place. It's in the presence of God that we have newness of life and chains are broken off of us. Being in His presence is awesome, and we need to seek it more and especially as times get tougher and tougher. 11 Christians were just murdered. Christians are being killed everywhere today. We are really seriously under attack as the body of Christ. Our personal walk is as important as our corporate walk, our group think. I use the example of being on an airplane. When you run into turbulence and the oxygen mask comes down and they say, put your mask on first before you help anybody else. So many times we go out there and we try to do all this stuff on our own. We don't have our oxygen mask on. We're gasping for breath and wondering why. Without Christ behind everything, we're just going to burn ourselves up. We can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. So on week one, I began with a question, do you thirst for God? Are we thirsting for God? And I talked about three kinds of spiritual thirst. The first was the empty soul. And that described the unsaved person that's always searching to fill that empty place inside. I remember that feeling. I've been saved a long time now. But I remember that feeling. Trying to fill it with money, sex, sports, entertainment, power, whatever it may be. Those people are continually unhappy because they're always thirsting and searching for something, and they don't understand the only thing that can fill that void is Jesus. When Jesus met the woman at the well in John 4, he said to her, whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. We can go around parched and dry and searching. But believe me, when we come to Christ, he has that ever-flowing river of water that will quench our thirst. The second was the thirst of the dry soul. Now, this person knows the Lord, but perhaps you've drifted away. Perhaps you're out there somewhere in the world, and you're away from him. Or perhaps you're going through a really tough time. We call them desert experiences. I was watching a cowboy movie the other day with my husband. And there was so much dust. I don't know how they all didn't die of black lung by the time they were 30. I'm looking at the movie and I'm thinking, how did they even breathe, these people? They were in a wagon train. And they were running away from Indians. And the dust was everywhere. Sometimes when you're going through a really tough time and you feel like you're in that desert and you're just sucking in dust and you can't see and you can't breathe. But believe me, God is there in the middle of that dust storm. The psalmist says in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? So, if we're at a place where we're spiritually dry, we need to come to the fountain of the Lord and drink. And then there was the thirst of the satisfied soul. And that's the person who's had an encounter with Christ, and they want more. And they want more, as Lynn would say, I got to have more of Jesus. Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So my question was, are we thirsty, dry, or filled with the living water of Christ? And that brought us to week two, to Psalm 1, and the question, does God's word increasingly direct your life? We began talking about what is the world's greatest treasure. that it isn't a Picasso painting or the Da Vinci Codex or all the gold on the planet. How many people have won the lottery and ended up dead because they can't handle the money? It isn't that at all. Scripture says, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?" The most important thing is our relationship with Christ and knowing we have eternity with him. I talked about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and how we must have our basic needs met in life in order to progress further. Same thing in the spiritual realm. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We can be in poverty and still be rich in Christ. In fact, the more you know the Lord, the less you need in life. I know a lot of people that are getting rid of their junk, their stuff. We've talked about this before too. Clean it out, because you don't need it anymore. Life becomes more simple. Whitney, in his book, also compared things such as light. The word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, as fire and tools. And Jeremiah says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer and breaks rocks in pieces." You can go into the Word of God and get set free. He can break things off of your life, bring healing, deliverance. It's a weapon. And Ephesians tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And it's a seed that's been planted that's gives us eternal life as it blooms. The Word of God is perfect, pure, right, righteous, and sweeter than honey. It's the bread we live on. And it makes God known to us. So, some questions were, do we stop and think about how the Bible speaks to our everyday life? Do we go to it when we have a problem? Is the Bible changing your life? Has your desire to read it faded? If it has, we need to get you excited again about the Word. And I'm going to close with this morning. In the Word, we are called the light of the world. We are called children of God. We are His witnesses, and we are called to be lovers of God and lovers of our neighbor. As children of God, we are spirit-filled and called to follow Christ and be more like Him. So with all the information we've had, the questions are we hungry or thirsty for God? Or are we just snacking on the Word? We should be feasting on it. Are we able to apply it to our lives? So I'd like you to continue to think about these questions again and where they fit into your life and your walk with Christ. And if you can, join us after church so we can talk about some of these things. Where are we? And this is I wasn't going to show it during the sermon, but it says, what if we began to treat our Bibles the way we treat our cell phones? What if we carried it with us everywhere? Turned back to go get it if we forgot it, checked it for messages throughout the day, used it in case of an emergency, and spent an hour or more using it each day. I thought that was really good. Amen. So let's stand.